CliffCentral.com.
All right, all right, all right, all right. Good morning, everybody. Here we are on a chilly Wednesday morning after a public holiday, which everybody thinks is so stupid on a Tuesday to have a public holiday. But I mean, if you had the day and you did whatever you wanted to do, then job done. That's all anyone cares about. We have the gorgeous, beautiful. How is it that you get better and better every time I see you, and I get worse and worse, Dumi Morake? How does this work? I mean, I can see myself deteriorating, and you're getting prettier and more gorgeous and more lovely, and it's wrong. It's wrong.
I feed on the souls of my children.
I knew it. I knew it. So we've got the beautiful Dumi Morake, we've got the lovely Simpiwe Mtatwa, and then the hideously monstrous Gareth Cliff, all to look after you this morning, this Wednesday.
The manly looking Gareth Cliff.
The monster. The monster. That's what it is. What's happening, Dooms?
Not much, eh? I'm a little bit still jet-lagged, but I'm fantastic.
I always have to check where in the world you might be. Are you in South Africa again? Are you in America? Where are you right now?
Yeah, I'm in South Africa. It's funny because I was speaking to someone who was like, oh, are you still in Finland? I'm like, my friend, if there was a whole other country between Finland and me being here now. I was in Doha as well, but I'm here. I'm here.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I spent a little time in Qatar as well. That was nice.
Oh, really? Is it nice there? Never been.
Yeah. It's pretty dope. And it's like such a survivor country. I love it. It's like such a bad.
That's what they're
like
doing.
Now I feel like I must find.
That's how they're doing the World Cup this year.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was actually thinking I need to find myself a Habibi who can take me there. I think I still have it in me to get a Habibi. So I'll just throw in a long wig, Nyana.
Yeah, just remember what all those other women have to do to get there, and I don't know if you'd be so keen.
I'll take some domestos. Yes.
You'll need it. Yes, sis.
Listen, you do what you need to, Shem.
People have to do it, right? Anyway.
Right?
People got to do what they got to do. We've discussed this. Ask Simpiwe. We've discussed it so many times on the show. All these people have they got their OnlyFans going, and they've got, and they're selling old used underwear and whatever. What you got to?
What's on the old used underwear? Standard or
you want to? You wanna,
we don't know. You must go buy.
You want to be on the? You want to be on the yacht for Instagram? You got to do what you got to do. Huh?
Yo, but it's too much. I feel like once you thought the coochie was the furthest you're going to go, and then they go, no, there's more. It's that very much. But wait, there's more.
Exactly. But I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. It's gross. It's disgusting. Well, you wanted to get on the yacht. You know, they always show they show these beautiful girls lying on the deck of a yacht in the bikini. And then there's this meme where they show you what's going on the other side of the camera, and there's these gross old men with hairy backs and fat stomachs, and they all looking at her, and you feel so bad for the girl. But then, you know what, these days you make your choices, right?
I'll take a hairy back and a big tummy for really nice seats for the World Cup. I would stomach that.
What seat is worth it? I mean, really? You went to some of the World Cup games when it was here in 2010, right?
Yeah. It was such a jump. I loved it. It's such, but maybe it's because I love soccer and I love live soccer. Love live soccer.
No, it's exciting as hell. I'm not I'm not a big sports fan at all, but the World Cup, oh man, that's the only time I become a super fan.
Yeah.
It's the best time too.
It is, huh?
It's the best of the best teams coming together, the best players coming together. It's okay, this is the only time soccer makes sense. I'll even watch. It's the only time.
No, exactly. So let me quickly tell you, Dumi Morake's amazing resume continues to grow. She she is on, I mean, this is just amazing. You're a queen of comedy. You've been a TV show host. You've been an actress. You've been a radio host, a presenter. You've done it all. I mean, there's nothing left that you still need to do. But
painting.
Oh, you want to be an artist? But you've got something on this weekend, right? The 13th of August. You've got a show at the Theatre of Marcellus at Emperor's.
Yes, it's Laugh Masadi. I'm hooking up with other female comedians and we're doing the things. I mean, it's Women's Month, right? And everybody's like all in Bogota and liking and retweeting. And I'm like, put your money where your mouth is. Here is a whole group of women, talented women, who are going to be doing some dope comedy. Come and support, you know?
It sounds awesome. Yeah, who's on it with you? I know Lihle Msemang is there.
She's hilarious. We've got Angel Campy from Cape Town.
Excellent.
Yes.
We're a representative. We're across the board. we've got Lindy, Lindy Johnson is also from the Cape. We've got Tracy Lee Oliver. She is also from the Cape. We've got Nina Hasty.
Oh, wow. Okay. We love her.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time. Unfortunately, Kanye Sabunu lost her mom and is laying her mom to rest this weekend. So she won't be there, but she was on the lineup. And a little surprise act.
What happens with comedy if somebody has to drop out of the show? Do you just make the show shorter or does everybody else have to pick up the, you know, make their act a bit longer? Like, how does it work? Does it just... go.
This is where you get to then call your friends who sometimes go, the lineup is too long, let's cut it here. And then if someone becomes unavailable, you either give everybody more time on stage or you add someone special. So I added someone special who's going to be our surprise act. And yeah, I think it's going to be worthwhile.
Okay.
Well, I saw a couple of clips. I haven't watched it yet, but everybody's talking about the roast of Kanye Mbao, which was, I mean... Pop Pops, who we had on the show just the other day, and we had Celeste Ntuli on as well. And the two of them were absolutely, from the little bits that I've seen, absolutely devastating. Amazing. Pause just so good, right?
Celeste is a cannonball. Like, every time I watch her, I've always said there's something about Celeste that makes the room quiet. Like, she fills a room and she's freaking funny. And Pops is just... it's like he wakes up and you're laughing. I love his energy. He's got ticklish energy.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But I didn't realize Tebow Touch was there as well. And they tore him.
Yes, did he bring the horn? I have to watch. I haven't seen yet, so no spoiler alert. But did he bring the horn?
But he brought the accent, you know.
Yes, sis.
That must have been a topic. I've never been able to place that accent. And I've heard people call it an American accent. And like, I've heard many of them. I've never heard this one. Which one is this one?
It's so good. So good.
It's his accent. They must just call it his accent. They mustn't call it Thibaut Touch and his American. No, Thibaut Touch and his accent.
Yeah, because it's not American. You've heard Americans.
Yeah, don't give it a country. Yeah, don't give it a country.
Oh, my God. How hilarious. So Thabo this morning says, Paul was on fire. That was the best panel ever. This roast was done right. A few gimmicks and focus on the jokes. It was super. Yeah.
That's what happens when you get a team of strong writers, because you had Loiso Gola as team. He was leading a team of writers, which included Mojack Lohoko, who's very talented. Wow. Lindy, who's going to be in my show, was also one of the writers there.
Right.
I'm trying to remember who else was there, but it was a very strong team of writers. And roasts, from what I've seen, even when I watch the American ones and the English ones, is if you stick to the script, you get magic. It starts to go wonky when people start to get creative. Yeah. So you'll find that this worked because people stuck to the script.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's difficult to do that, hey? It's really hard because...
you get excited.
Yeah, people get excited, get carried away, all that kind of stuff. So it's it really is a hard thing to get right. And everything just has to flow. Plus, of course, these things always on the night... someone might be better than you expect, or someone might be way worse.
Yes.
I mean, sometimes, and it's funny to me. I mean, like, I know you guys are the professionals, but sometimes you get someone who's not a professional comedian and they kill it because they really take instruction well. They listen to the comedians. They, you know, they pay attention to what they have to do here and there.
Yeah.
And then they get it right. And it's awesome to see just like ordinary civilians doing their thing.
No, because comedy will tell you, I'm not your friend. Especially if you're not a comedian, it'll tell you, I'm not your friend. So if you don't prepare and you don't work on it, it will show you on the night.
Oh, yeah.
And those people who are incredible, it's because they've done the work and they listened to the writer. They listened to the comedian who advised them. You understand? It's like when Kim Kardashian did SNL and she killed it.
Yes.
She killed it because she listened.
Yep.
You know? Like, people underestimate preparation, my friend. Otherwise, the gang will be like, who are you? What are we doing?
Right. And it's not like you're just going on stage to like read a script either, or people are going to forgive you, because they will forgive you if you're doing, you know, a corporate function maybe, or if you're doing something that's out of your wheelhouse and you're trying really hard because let's say it's for charity or something. But a roast is the most unforgiving place on planet Earth.
This is true. I miss it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Someone here, Theron, says, Gareth, you were even mentioned by John Flismus. Apparently, Tebow Touch was up your asshole.
You got an honorary mention.
I got an honorary. That means, you know what? Hey, listen. Someone said to me a while ago.
You're a big deal.
Yeah.
Someone said to me, I haven't been on radio for 8 years, and I haven't done...
Sure.
I haven't done TV with the exception of that show that we did last year, which was like one season of like news TV on a, you know, those channels don't have a lot of audience, but it was fun. It was a fun thing to do. But other than that, TV, it's probably been about 6 years. And if they're still talking about you, hey, that's a good sign, right?
Yeah.
You haven't fallen off.
Fucking hard.
Yeah.
It's still a big deal.
And Tebow Touch is a huge suppository. So I would definitely...
Why do you think I walk so uncomfortably?
Just breaking this.
Yeah. Now, let's just talk about Women's Day for a second, because you were just saying if you really want to support Women's Day, come and watch some female comedians, which I like the sound of. I wouldn't do that because I want to go and watch female comedians. I'd go and watch it because they're hilariously funny. But,
yeah, right.
But this whole Women's Day thing, I saw the president like doing his pandering yesterday. Yo, we need to make sure that women are paid the same as men, and all this shit that they say every time Women's Day rolls around. I always wonder, like, because we've discussed it a million times on this show, but I always wonder about those women who actually go and sit in the audience and listen to these politicians when they start churning out this crap, this patronizing, like, hi, yes, we are here to acknowledge the women. Like, there's a whole bunch of women in the front row just looking at him. And I'm thinking, they must have given you free lunch, free T-shirt, promised you that they'll give you, you know, like, extra money this month or whatever. Because those women, you can just tell, they even see straight through it. They're not interested, but they've pitched because they're getting the free stuff. That's really the only reason I could figure that they would be there.
And they have a drinking game. They've gone, so for every piece of bullshit, you take a shot. So they're like, we're getting trashed. I'm sitting on 100 shots. So it's like, I'm sitting on 1,000 shots. So they know it's just for every bit of old wash. Let's just knock one back. You know, I mock Women's Day because of what happened all those years ago, because of the Women's March in 1956. I have no reason to say I celebrate it. So I always feel like I must say something on Women's Day, but I feel like I'm not going to say no BS, like happy. So I'll put my happy in brackets because I'm thinking, I don't know if it's so happy.
Because
on paper, we were amazing. Like this country, oh my God, our constitution, our rights, the women, positions open. Like, listen, we are eating freedom. Né? And then on the ground, yay! It's a war zone.
Well, I saw.
So I'm like,
I saw that they found old Sophie Williams de Brain, who's like the only leader of that march back in '56 who's still alive. And this poor woman, they always track her down on Women's Day and like harass this poor woman for like, tell us, give us something for the news. And then, and she, shame. I mean, she's. You know, she's the only one who's left, so she's like, oh, God, all this responsibility's on me. And you can imagine her, like, she said, oh, and she's always cross, hey, because she reckons things are just not improved for women, and she's right in so many ways. She goes, I am disgusted. disgusted. She says, I am disgusted that this government in this country, there are still women being treated like shit, being raped, being pushed around, not getting the jobs they deserve, being treated like second-class citizens by this government. I watched, I was like, yo, there's someone who's not celebrating Women's Day. And she's one of the actual survivors of that march back in 1956. So you must know.
Yeah.
You know?
And we then must keep screaming till we go to the grave, Shem.
Yeah, I you know what? I think she's speaking, though, for a lot of women because, I mean, there's some horrific, horrific things that are going on. And then you get these these effing politicians who are like, no, let me just say something so that I can make it all about me rather than what it really is. Just got to love them, hey? They've got no shame.
Uncle Silili, when it comes to women, I don't think he's a horrible person. No, but he disappeared. I just still haven't forgiven him. Because we're all like, yo, say something. And he was just blue-ticking us. Blue-ticking the country, remember? I was like, you're kidding me right now.
Yeah.
Now, for the first time, I was going, this country needs a sex strike for real. For real. We actually need to commit.
Yeah. So apparently Patricia DeLille, who's still in politics, believe it or not. I mean, she's a minister.
Oh.
Who would have guessed, right? She's got that party called Good. How many times she's launched a party and it's just enough to keep her in business? It's just enough. It's like you open a shop and there's only five things on the shelf, but it's just enough to keep the shop going. That's what she's doing. She had some conference in Cape Town as well with the Good Party. And she was like, no, well, she's got all these women there from like the Cape Flats who've got horrible stories about abuse and things that have happened to them. And she's like, we need to do something about this. I'm like, hang on, babe. You are in Parliament, and
hang on, babe.
And you're in. I'm going to call her that. I don't give a shit. And you're in Cabinet, and you are like, well, some people must do something. I'm like, you've got a ministry, a whole ministry that you can serve. Like, what do you? Who must do something? You, when?
It's like a cop saying, "Someone call the cops."
Exactly. Help!
It's fine. Well, I'm glad she has identified the problem. Me, I'm saying it's a start.
Oh well. Did you do anything fun? You were flying yesterday, so you didn't really. When did you land?
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, I landed on the evening of the 8th.
Okay.
And then yesterday, I woke up so early because I like things. I had work to do, and then now it's hitting me that I didn't rest. Now my body's going, sorry, Sissy. Sorry, but you're still, you're tired. You're still having an American accent. Let's come back. It's tired.
What about you, Simpiwe? Did you do anything fun?
I was with friends, so it just so happened that one of my friends, it's her birthday, and that's what we decided to do. We had like a young picnic, and we hung out like as friends, and it was really nice. Like, that's all.
Love it.
We did not do anything too glamorous.
Well, oh, wait, I had Jager bombs at night.
Ooh.
That was a great
yes.
I forgot about that. I drank and ate mukhodu cooked by a man.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Where was this? At home?
Okay.
No. I went to my bunny.
Okay. I can't, you know what? I cannot, even on a public holiday, I can't drink during the week, hey. You just feel too shitty than it. Well, I do. I'm too old, you see. So it's like I'm old Madala. So now I can't handle it anymore. I can do weekends and I can do one night a weekend. I can still go big. I can still, you know, pull out all the stops. I can party with the best of them. But yes, during the weekend. I mean, during the week, not going to happen.
So whether you don't sip, you drink. That's why you can't. If you drink,
you know, you see those people. You see those people who like are in their 60s or 70s, but they like purple colored. You know the ones with the real puzza face. Those ones who like they. You know those guys who like they lean on the bar like this in these bars and pubs.
That's stress.
You know those
when
ones.
You see people like that. That's stress. That's stress.
A lot
it's
of that they
stress. They're going through life.
A lot of that they've done to themselves, simply where they are. They're alcoholics.
I'm sorry, alcoholics for me are people who drink on schedule. Boma, I can't drink during the week. I can only drink.
No, I'm sorry, I can't.
I don't have a drinking schedule. I drink when it's available. And now you're like,
no, I reckon. So I don't think that's the definition. I think it. You know, you've got to do something about it when you drink on your own. Like when you, if you get home from a hard day and you're like, where's the liquor cabinet? That's when you know.
But there's people that stay their own.
Yes.
So you can't wait for the weekend. You're just having one glass.
And we're coming out of a panoramic. You can't just be drinking. Some people are still being very careful.
Well, what do you do on a day after a big night like that? Because there's some people who swear that they found a hangover cure, and it's greasy food, or it's like headache tablets and lots of water, or I still have never, ever found the cure. I don't think anyone that I know has. People say it, but I don't believe them.
Rehydrate and orange juice for me.
Is that it?
I don't even know the cure for everyone, but I found that my hangovers are always related to dehydration. So I literally always have sachets of that thing and...
Okay.
I'm fine. I'm ready to go.
Okay, I'm taking that down.
I am too.
Oh, smoke weed. When you know you're done drinking and you're not going to have another one. Don't drink and smoke and drink and smoke. Then you get greens. That's worse than any hangover. You get sick. But if when you're finished with everything, you say, no, it's chaser time. Slap the young one. Friend, tomorrow. You're like, where did I drink? How? Like...
That does not work for everyone. Please do not try this at home, kids. That really does not. I've seen this happen with one of my mates. They did exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It ended in disaster and it ended in tears. No, don't do it, kids.
Because they didn't go straight home. You're supposed to go straight home. Don't, now you're entering people. This thing comes with a disclaimer. Guys, you must drink professionally. But also when you drink, you look at your age. You go by decade by decade. Also, check yourself and be honest.
Yeah.
I think that's also where we get lost. Just stay in your lane.
Tabo
says, 20s, they know.
I find that people who discuss drugs and alcohol are the alcoholics. That makes it all of us.
But Tabo, it's a social thing.
Setic says, those guys you see at the bar are the ones who are stressed by their wives. Oh, yeah.
Or their lack of wives. You know, you don't have a wife and you know you have clothes that need to be ironed.
Oh. Yeah,
you know
just
what
like,
the house looks like. Yo.
That's terrible. That's terrible. So, Corona's Boring says, tomato cocktail is the winner.
Yes, it's horrendous, but you're correct. I agree.
And Basit Sana says, oros.
Oros. Sana, you're your late 20s.
Oros.
That sounds a little bit late 20s. Yeah, but you know those ones. Those are the ones that are like, yeah, oros, crimson. Those are the young ones. Those are the ones who listen to the yarnos. Don't listen to those ones. That's not ours.
Oros.
That's not for us, Kenneth. It's for that generation.
Oh, that's so good. Just drink water with your whiskey.
I'm not sure, but...
A lot of water before falling asleep and some water in the morning. So Ndogozo is like, none of that shit matters. Just do the water.
Okay.
Water with your whiskey.
Yeah.
Okay.
But obviously a lot of water.
Dedicated liver tabs before you part. People are really investing in that drinking. Dedicated liver tabs before you
part. How's that, hey? Yeah. Now that's amazing. If you can remember, because you see, a lot of this... stuff doesn't happen, like you don't schedule the drinking. As Tumi said earlier. You know, like, okay, tonight we're gonna drink. Because then if you're gonna do that and you're gonna say it like that as well, and you take the tablets before, yo, that's some planning, hey? Wow.
No, but if you take two Panado, okay, the last one that I know definitely works. Two Panados with a glass of water when you're entering the bed.
Oh, okay.
I know that one before you actually start drinking. Just before, or grandpa's, just before you start drinking, and then you're good to go, and you will be fine the next day.
Sorry to digress, but when you say grandpa, do you know that my 8-year-old daughter found it so hilarious that this pill's called grandpa? Because we were talking about grandpa, and she was on the floor, and she's like, are you making it up? We're like, no, these they're headache pills, and she's dead. She's like... How do grandpas cure headaches? She just could not comprehend. Now I'm sitting there going, why are they called grandpa? This generation will mess with your life. Now I'm just obsessed with why is it grandpa?
This is your 8 year old your son who says he's got a girlfriend at eight.
No, my daughter who says she has a girlfriend at
your
eight.
Your daughter has a girlfriend at eight. Okay, tell me how this
daughter,
works.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. She's telling me she's now LGBTQIA.
Oh.
Et cetera. And I was like, cool, baby, that's excellent. And she says, Mommy, you're not mad. And I'm like, no, I'm not mad. Why should I be mad? And she says, because I'm too young. I say, so you know the problem. You've identified the problem. Why are you involved with me?
Yeah. I mean,
why are you making your moral compass?
No, she knows. But 8 years old, I mean, if she has a girlfriend at eight, she's very advanced because, geez, at eight, like I don't think I even knew what the hell was going on around me. 8 years old.
Just I think games. Are they not out and about? Street lights. That's their curfew.
Yeah.
Like,
My kids out and about, no. But they live on the interweb. So what I like is everything my kids will ask, like everything, including my teenager who's 13. There will be things that have to do with the nether regions. And he will ask, like he will be like, yo, mom. Like when he got his first morning glory, he was like, mom. I just. And I was like, I love we have this open relationship, but you have a dad.
Yeah. Speak to dad.
It's not in my toolbox does not include that. But I was still like, oh, my kids don't talk to me about anything. So I'm not surprised you told me she had a girlfriend. But it did have me going, damn, we're living at a time where, you know, at that age, that's when they get taught, don't touch me, it's my body. And then if she's already now discussing LGBTQI, which goes to sexuality, because I also feel like my next conversation with her has to be so, you know, what does it mean to have a girlfriend? Like, what's the difference? How do you know you like girls, not boys? And I go, it's interesting that these conversations are happening younger and younger because the people I speak to, their kids are getting younger and younger who are telling them, Dad, I identify as this. Don't call me that anymore. And I really don't want to hurt members of the LGBTI community by saying this. Yeah. But when kids are that young, sometimes I go, are my children moving with a trend because they're seeing this?
No, you know, it is.
In their they've line measured, of sight.
They've been measuring
this. And how much
this,
of this is
like
internalized properly?
You've been in the U.S. long enough to know that there's a big hot issue at the moment is that they, especially for young girls, a lot of girls are identifying as transgender because other girls are saying it's cool. And so imagine, because we all know how mean young girls can be to each other, right? We all know how difficult it is to deal with bullying, like who's the coolest, who's not the coolest. And they're talking about how this is a social contagion in that if you're a young girl and you can be, first of all, the minute you say that you're trans, no one can be mean to you because it's bullying of a very particular kind. You know, you'll get into huge trouble. You can't victimize people in the LGBTQ community. So all these young girls are like, first of all, it's a great way to not be bullied because you can say you're trans and then it means you're in a special protected group. That's number one.
It's
number two is all the cool girls are doing it because when you're going through changes, as these very young girls are, their bodies are changing. They feel like they don't belong in their body. They feel uncomfortable in their own skin. It's hard to deal with. Some of them don't have parents like you, Dumi, where they can talk to them about stuff. So they think there's something different or wrong with them. They think they're you know, in the wrong body or whatever. So they go through all of this. And I'm not saying this is true for everybody, but if you look at just, I mean, Bill Maher was saying this the other day on his show, Real Time. He was saying, why is it that in states where, you know, they're very, like, left-leaning, they've had like a 60% increase in some of the schools in people who identify as transgender. 60%! He reckons that if you look at the numbers, the number of kids identifying as one or other kind of LGBTQIA, whatever it is, has doubled every generation. So, and that's not to do with tolerance. That's not to say that, you know, it's because we live in a time where people are more tolerant and everybody understands and you're allowed to be who you want to be. All that stuff is awesome. We want that. And we support that. I don't think anybody in the world would say, no, we must be mean. Imagine people who still think it's okay to be like mean to gay or lesbian or trans people. But they basically said on the show of his, it's doubling every generation. So by that estimation, he said by the year 2038, we'll all be LGBTQIA+. There'll be no straight people.
Which technically we all are, I'm convinced. I just feel like it needs to get to a point where it stops standing out. You know what I mean? It's like the
haven't we gone there already? We got there already? I mean, like in some parts of the world.
I don't know. I feel like it needs to be like I've seen schools in South Africa where they've integrated disabled children with able-bodied children or this differently abled-ish. You know, nowadays you'll also get cancelled for still using old terminology.
Yep.
So differently abled kids. In some schools, there's actually an integration. And what happens is it stops being an othered thing when you're out in the world.
Yeah,
you
except
know?
When, the,
and I think
except when the jungle gym comes into the picture.
Yeah, if it becomes a natural part of your world, then you naturally, when you're building stairs, are going, I have to have a ramp, you know, because there are people who are going to need a ramp. So I almost feel like if people stop being sensitive sallies from both sides and go, the plus side to this is a time should come where it's not such an other thing that it's a big deal. You know what I mean? Where you don't, it's so automatic for us to throw he and she around. And you know what I mean? But it needs to come to a point where we can just very easily, they is a natural thing we can show, you know, throw out. And asking somebody how they identify can be as natural as asking them their name. You know, because for some people, it's important how they identify.
Hugely.
It's
important.
A big That's deal.
Usually, I've said this before, I think it's usually the case that for a lot of these people, it isn't so much that they're a they, but that they haven't got any personality. And I'm being mean now, but this is the truth. Like, there are genuine trans people, but they're a tiny, tiny proportion of the population. Tiny. Like, it's always been, and we of course, in history, have treated these people very badly. So that's why we now feel guilty and we feel like we need to compensate for that. It doesn't mean that they get to change the language, though. I don't go they, them as a part of a sentence where I'm referring to a single person. It just doesn't make grammatical sense. And I'm not going to sacrifice language. I'm not sacrificing language to make you feel better.
You're fighting on a language level.
Yeah. I'm saying this is how...
Your phobia
lives this, exactly.
Linguistically...
I'm not going to say homophobic. They, them as a singular. It just does not. That's not how you speak the language.
Yeah, you see, you're starting a war.
This is a war I'll go for. Don't tell me how to speak my language. I will not be told how to speak the language.
I must say I'm a huge, huge supporter and backer of transgender people because I feel like they've taken it from everyone. They've taken it even from the gay community. You know, they've been sidelined. They had nowhere to go and had to go and find their own cave to go hide in. So I feel like they must throw more at us because I really feel like sometimes you must take people, you must take the nonsense out of them. It's like how Hollywood at some point, and even now, like a lot of American TV went heavy, representational. Sometimes you must just shove this stuff down people's throat so that they can just get it into their minds and go, okay, the world is not just me and my perspective. The world is this. It's jelly beans. And if I want to live in it, I must just be prepared to jump into a new jelly bean every once in a while. But at the same time, if you are the jelly beans you are jumping into, be prepared. And don't just now jump at offense and attack. To know that I'm going to jump into jelly bean territory that I'm not familiar with. Therefore, you need to be ready to educate me and not just jump at a fight every time. Sometimes I am genuinely ignorant and genuinely curious. You're not going to allow me to ask the question. Don't then, you know, make the fact that you're a jelly bean important. Because if it's that important to you, you have to be open
how you identify has actually got nothing to do with me. And if I don't ask, I don't go around asking people what are their pronouns because you're opening a can of worms there. And I also don't expect everybody to be asking me about myself every time I walk into a room. How about we just have conversations about things that make us laugh or... You know,
let's not speak in English.
Well,
how about let's not speak in English? Because there's no pronouns.
Okay, but then, all right, but then what? Speak Spanish where everything is gendered. Everything is masculine or feminine. How about French? Everything is masculine or feminine.
Let's speak an African language.
Where everything is gendered? I mean, you know, people are saying now in America, they're talking about the Latinx community. You know who the only people who don't use the term Latinx? The Latin people. Mm. The the Hispanic people. They're like, fuck you. We want to be called hombres and señoritas. Don't give us this. There are two different things going on there in that language. A table has a gender. Countries have gender. So, yeah, it's going to work in some places. Try that shit in Saudi Arabia. See how well that goes down. Try it in Qatar. Try Qatar, where you just come from. Telling them that you support the LGBTQ. You see all these corporations on Gay Pride Month. They all, like, change their colors to the rainbow flag, but not in Qatar, not in the UAE, not in Saudi Arabia, not in Southeast Asia. Oh, no. Suddenly those places are like, Everywhere else in the first world, they're like, rainbow flags. Yeah. It's bullshit.
Guys, if we can still have war in 2022, I feel like all this other stuff will always exist as well. If we can still have war in 2022, where war is so normal, the Russians are still going on holiday. I was shocked. I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah.
Your country has declared war on people, and then you go, I need a holiday from all this war. Let me go. And I'm like, it feels wrong. I'm like, how are these people even still traveling? What is your moral compass? Don't you feel guilty?
What do you mean?
Russians.
Are they going to the war? No. You need to give people a break.
Go on holiday.
Yeah.
Yes, but
excuse
stress,
me.
It's
I'm
the
just
war.
Gonna take some time off.
Is the people not being hit with the freaking guns? Isn't the Ukrainian people that once must be going to the beach to go take a load off?
There are a whole bunch of Ethan says, on Friday a lady approached me while I was sitting and enjoying a ciggy. The first question she asked me is, are you gay? I replied, saying I had never slept with a man before. I was so disappointed in my fellow women. Obviously, you know, these days, anytime anyone gets all uptight with you about any of these things, you just go, did you just assume my gender? And then they go,
no,
like,
but how was he smoking that cigarette though?
Oh, so you how do you smoke it? Okay, show me the way.
I'm just saying, sometimes, you know, because have you seen those guys who are awkward with straws and bananas? And you're like, why? It's just put the damn thing in your mouth and stop being awkward. Because now
they'll never do that. They'll have to shake it, cut it, throw it up in the air, do stunts. I don't know. I don't know. Like, guys are always doing crazy things. But just to put it in their mouth, that's not happening. No.
And I'm like, I'm sorry. If all those things are making you think about what people will think you do, you must be doing it. Why is that the first thing on your mind?
Well, it's time for us to look at some headlines. We're almost at 7 o'clock already. I can't believe how quickly the time has gone. So let's just briefly have a look at the headlines because we need to know what's actually going on in the world. Don't you agree? Or are we wasting our time here? So Serena Williams has decided that she's maybe going to retire from tennis after the US Open. And obviously if people are talking, they're like, well, you know, again, if she is retiring, I just think awesome. Like, what a career. And to quit while you are still relevant, you're still at the top, you're like the biggest star in female tennis, I think that's indisputable, right? I don't think there's anyone who comes close to her. So she has suggested she's going to retire from tennis, saying she'll be evolving away from the sport after the US Open. Writing for Vogue, the 23-time Grand Slam singles champion said she's moving towards other things that are important, adding she doesn't like the word retirement. In an accompanying Instagram post, she wrote that the countdown has begun. So she's only 40, but what a life, huh? What an incredible 40 years.
And she's still playing. Like, yeah. I know sports can be very ageist, you know.
Right.
After you reached a certain age, they're already looking at you and they're like, So she's 40 and still playing. Shout out to you, Serena. Shout out.
And she's got that bowery. You're like, you're retiring for who, for what? There's no need. You just mean you're just going to stop.
That's interesting. You say like sports ageist. I reckon that the sports and entertainment businesses are probably the most ageist of all. If you look at like TV, you very seldom see like an old woman on TV, right? Like Barbara Walters was the last really old woman on TV. I don't know that there's so many old women on TV.
Yeah, you've got me thinking now, eh?
But even the roles that are given to mothers is like people that are still young. They'll be like 30-something,
yeah,
and they're given the role of a mother.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah. I blame America for this also. Like, America, they worship youth in America. They worship, like, you've got to be young, and, like, there are not a lot of people, not just women, but men also, who are in that business past a certain age. And if you are, they only give you those, like, very old people roles.
Yeah, but I mean, come on, guys. You know, in soccer, you know, the term soccer age exists for a reason. I think they are the true OGs of fighting ageism. When you meet players who are like, they say this guy is 23, and you're like, my guy, I'm sure me and you are in high school together. And there's no way you shaved off 8 years while we were.
Yeah.
Those guys mustn't cry about ageism. They are beating it at their own thing. Is it really ageist though? I don't know. I think in acting, acting gives you longevity.
Well, you're pretending to be other people a lot of the time, right?
Yeah. But also the older actors are getting really meaty roles. Why is this chick's name leaving me? What's that chick from the Titanic? Jack's chick. What's her name?
Oh, Kate Winslet.
Hey. There's this thing. There's this series I'm watching now. And my gosh, she is doing things to it. She is
really
incredible to watch. Yes.
Okay.
And it's an age thing. Younger, I don't think she would have given it the gravitas she has given it. It's called Mayor of Something. Ish. See now, guys, my brain is gone.
I mean, okay,
but anyway, I think older people are I don't know. That people are actually peaking even older. Like, look at Connie Chume. She's doing Hollywood, and she is, like, in her 50s, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. Morgan Freeman, yeah, he was a guy. But, as soon as he started becoming gray and becoming Gordon Mandela, that's when you were like, Morgan Freeman.
Maybe you know what? You make a good point. I'm not going to even argue my side of that anymore, because I think you've just destroyed my argument. You're just like, well, here's some examples. Bah, 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 bah. I'm going to argue with you. But I do think age is like something you can either get into gracefully, or that you fight hard. And you see these people who are fighting age hard. I spoke to a friend of mine, a guy who's 42. So he's even younger than me. And he has just been for a little...
like Botox. Did he do some Botox?
No, not Botox. Like an actual like lift.
Oh.
An actual.
42, huh?
Okay, like...
Yeah.
Removing just the wrinkles and just being a bit, okay.
So I said to this guy, are you, really? Like 42? And he's like, yeah, that's what he wanted to do. And listen, I don't begrudge anybody. You could do whatever you want. But I mean, and he probably, I haven't seen him for a while, so I'll report back and tell you if he like, it looks a bit weird or whether he looks good. But I think
I don't know.
I think if you want to do that stuff, go for it. But people can get addicted to that too. And you know, if you chase that youth, and that's all you want, and you want to be young forever, it can become like a mental illness. I mean, like a lot of things.
Really?
If too much of anything. Oh yeah, do me. Yeah, yeah. No,
they're
people.
They look the opposite now.
Right.
You look at them. You're like, well, you were 40 when you started. Now you look 60, child.
Yep.
Like.
Mm-hmm.
I am riding this African Botox. You know that one? Mm. I'm riding this thing. I'm like, work for me, please. I think I looked older when I was younger, and now that I'm older.
Well, look at you. I mean,
I wasn't just being
nice when you started the show this morning. It's like if you compare the Tumi Murake that, I mean, when did I meet you? We probably got to know each other, what, like 7-8 years? Somewhere around there, properly. I mean, I knew who you were before then. You were famous, but probably interviewed you a couple of times, but only really got to know you. I mean, I do think some people get better with age. And I think you're one of them.
Yes.
Thanks.
You're not ugly. You're broke.
Sadly.
That's the...
Yeah.
When I look at the photos, I can see where the money started. I go, This is when I moved up in the tax bracket.
Yeah.
You can afford a skincare routine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can afford the latest what. I promise you that,
it's mostly
that blow up.
It's mostly that I could afford to not be in the sun as much.
Yeah. No, you know what, Simpiwe, you are so right, because you look at those memes that they also do, where they take like famous people like Kim Kardashian or Beyonce or whatever, and they show what they would look like if they were poor. You know, like just what ordinary people look like with their bad hair and their, you know, and their crooked teeth and their bad outfits and their shitty makeup. And if you spend, you can improve, but you got to spend quite a lot.
But poverty isn't as hard on dudes, though, I don't think. No. Like, I don't know, if you know chicks who are struggling with poverty dick. And those guys are hot. It's like, he is...
And whoa, let me tell you, those boys, they will have like one... It's not even a skincare routine. They'll be like, all I do is wash my face and put Vaseline. And they be glowing, they flawless. They
and they use that green sunlight. That's my everything.
The green sunlight.
That's
yeah.
It.
Yeah, the green sunlight. Dapa.
And you're just like, my nigga, like, why do you look this good? Why? Mm. And yeah, like, yeah, that's true. No, the guys definitely. The guys get away with it.
Look organic. Look like those organic vegetables at Woolies. You're like,
you're nice. You're very nice. I can take you home.
I can throw you in my budget, because you know those ones, then you need a budget.
All right. If you had budget. To choose, all right, so this is a great question, and I've got two women who are already like, you know, you two know how to look after yourself, and you also have high standards for other people. So you're not going to give me platitudes and bullshit here. Okay, you got to choose. You can either have perfect teeth, perfect skin, perfect hair, only one of those three. Which one is the most important?
That's true.
Teeth. Not like smiling.
What do you reckon?
No, but like I also like taking pictures so I can smile without showing my teeth. Flawless skin.
Skin.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes. Like you can do. Look.
No, have you seen people with ugly teeth?
I used to smile like that.
You just need to know your angles.
I used to smile like that. I only got my teeth sorted out in my 30s. And
but
look, before that, I didn't care. I still smiled like I do now. I didn't give a shit. I was like, whatever. You don't like my teeth. I don't care. I mean, I've never really cared what people think of how I look. So I reckon Simpiwe is right, though, about skin. Man, if you have good skin, it also makes you seem way younger, right?
Yeah. Like, but you can wear makeup.
That's not a lot of work. That's 40 minutes of your life gone every day.
Not as a guy. I mean, like, and as a woman.
Yes, as a guy.
Well, yeah, I know a lot of guys are wearing makeup. In fact, this ad was, like, the other day I was on Instagram, and this ad came up for, like, male makeup, like Australian. It's like an Australian thing. And I was like, yes, sis. Okay, it's obviously a thing. Like, there aren't male makeup counters at, you know, the pharmacies and things yet. But I'm telling you, it's coming. I mean, I'm sure that's a big thing everywhere else in the world already. But there is something, though, about a woman who hasn't put on makeup and her skin still looks amazing. And that's great, right? That's really, then you've hit the jackpot. But Basitsana, Ruth, they're all saying teeth. They say teeth are the most important. Yeah. Cheryl. So they're agreeing with you.
Because also you want to get a person. Like, you must look like I'm going to be okay to open my mouth to your mouth. Like, I'm so, like...
Yeah, like dental hygiene. Like, very important.
That's the thing. Like, you're going to... Imagine all those people who met during the panoramic, the height of panoramic during these times. And then now you're in love. You've committed. And then it comes off and
they look like they could...
Second cousin.
Yeah, they look like they could eat an apple through a tennis racket.
Friend, and that time you want to ask, are you a cunning linguist? And then goes, hey, it's fine, never mind. Let's not. Injuries.
Once you're in love, does looks even matter? No.
What? You look you're lying. You're lying.
That's a lie.
The minute you start dating that guy, and he was wearing a hoodie, it was winter, he takes off the hoodie and discover he has calves. And you still go, but no, not when his hips don't lie. In fact, the hips tell more truth than your hips. You are lying.
Well, listen, we somehow already are at 7 o'clock. It feels like we've spent 10 minutes, but I've got a hell of a story for you about one of the things that Silili said in his speech yesterday. It's probably going to irritate you, but let's see what you think of this. That's coming up next. We didn't get through any of the headlines, but the U.S. has invested $280 billion in high tech so they can compete with China. We're going to have to get into that. Simpiwe also wants to know if the world has become less colorful, and she's actually got some stuff to prove that the world is getting grayer and more boring. Not more colorful. Not those jelly beans that Dumi was talking about just now. So we're going to talk about all of that and more in a little while. The brilliant, amazing Dumi Moraki is here with us, Simpiwe Mtetwa, and me and you. And we will be back in just a moment. This is CliffCentral.com. It is a Wednesday. Stick around. CliffCentral.com.